Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got James on the line, who's part of the organising team for the Freedom Fritilla. G'day, James. How are you?
Yeah, good morning to you. Thanks for having us on the radio.
Yeah, no, it's good to talk to you. Can you give us some idea about, you know, the effort that was made to get people on the water?
Yeah, well, I'm part of the organising group for Free Gaza Australia, which is part of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. We've been trying since 2011 to try and break Israel's illegal blockade of Gaza. So over the years, we've recruited and selected participants from across this continent to take part, to travel on boat, to try and travel across the Mediterranean and meet with our Palestinian siblings and to challenge the blockade that's been going there. And over the years, it's escalated, intensified. The number of people who've heard about the blockade, and they've gone, I need to step up and do something. I have the ability to. And people are doing work on the land, in the air. We do work on the water. And so our work is to challenge that blockade on the Mediterranean Sea, the only port that's close in the Mediterranean Sea. And in the last couple of years, with the increasing genocide that people would have seen live streamed on their phones, we've obviously wanted to intensify our actions on the water. And so many, many more people have wanted to get involved. And most recently, we've just completed a particular mission. But I could talk about many of the missions before, this year, last year, and over the last, say, 15 years that we've been sailing. And before that, the Free Gaza Movement tried to break the blockade. And in all these stages, the Israelis have kept attacking people in international waters. And it's what they do to the Palestinians. They attack them just off the coast where they want to live, sustain their lifestyle with fishing, enjoying the waters and have freedom of movement. And all we do is try and do what Palestinians want to do, be able to move freely and connect with peoples around the world.
It's an extremely effective method of bringing to people's attention what's actually going on. Like you said, 15 years is a long time, and each time the Israelis have been stepping up their level of violence. In fact, people have been killed, haven't they?
Yeah, back in May 2010, 31st of May, aboard the Mavi Marmara, the documentary called The Truth Lost at Sea, which recounts the tale of people managed to smuggle out some footage from as they were being attacked. But the Israelis attacked one large ship called the Mavi Marmara and several other boats that were accompanying it. And they rappelled down from the helicopters and shot people. And they took over the ship. And 10 people were killed by the Israelis that day. The Israelis hated this international solidarity. And the Palestinian people in the Port of Gaza, they commemorate the people who attempt to break the blockade, and they erected a monument in the port of Gaza to the people there, which, of course, the Israelis blew up.
Yeah, it's obscene, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how do you place the government's response, the Australian government's response to this latest wave of activists going over?
Yeah. Well, in the past, the Australian government's often made public and also private approaches about, Australians shouldn't do this because this is a this and this is a that zone, and you do so at your own risk, and here's a travel advisory here. So they're often putting these sort of words out. But we always push back and say, well, we actually don't want to be going there. The problem is that you haven't acted. It's a failure of international law, a failure of the Australian government to end this illegal blockade. But while the government keeps failing, then, as we say, people keep sailing. And so they're not going to stop us from sailing. We'll keep doing that. But we really don't want to be doing it. But the Australian government's conduct has been appalling. They've attempted to try and say that the actions of a particular person is a rogue minister within their government. But their actions are, they epitomise, they embody the way in which the Israeli society treats Palestinians. The Palestinian prisoners, there's approximately 10,000 people being held hostage by the Israeli state. So we're not surprised that by the treatment that our participants received. We're shocked, but we're not surprised because that's the way in which they conduct themselves. They're brutal thugs and thieves in uniforms, and some of them are brutal thugs and thieves in suits. the way in which the Australian government has given cover to this behaviour is outrageous, and it's something that we shouldn't stand for, we won't stand for. But it's not unexpected here either. The Australians continue to do it, the Australian government, and the way in which it conducts itself against people here, against First Nations people, against anybody here who speaks up about injustices here, as lands being stolen, whether it's been in preparations for the five-ring circus happening in Muggingen, which happened last night, or whether it's around people who are protecting their land or the water. But how the state here conducts itself is another settler colony. So when they attack nearly 400, 500 people in the last month, the Israelis did, more than 70 boats from 45-plus countries, and these people were in international waters, hundreds of kilometres away from Palestine. Some of them were near Greece, some were near Crete. And so, yeah, that's the way the Australian government does. It doesn't do its job, so we have to do the job that the government should be doing.
Aside from the predictably disappointing response of the government, have you got anything to report about the general responses from the public you've been receiving for your actions?
Yeah, well, it starts off with the number of people who actually want to start sailing on the Freedom Flotilla. So in the past, we've been selecting one or sometimes two people from this continent, but there's just so many people, and now other organisations as well, along with ours, that they ended up being 11 people from Australia sailed. So behind all of these people, and from our group, the Freedom, Free Gaza Australia, there were three which we were supporting. But behind all of these people who are participants, there are, of course, networks of their family and friends and communities they're associated with. So the reverberations amongst them are large. But then beyond that, the stories of these people who we select, who have connection with community, are significant too. So the stories which they bring back from their experiences, not just their personal ones, but those they've interacted with other participants and other people as part of the journey as we sailed around different ports in the Mediterranean, and then had to stop off in various places on the way to try and challenge the blockade. And then the general support which we get, whether it be in Parliament House the other day where people conducted a protest, or return meetups which people have had, and then just random meetups in the streets with a variety of people which I have when I've got a shirt on or I approach people, and people break down, and they're very emotional when we talk to them about experiences people have endured. But they're emotional because they know that it's just a glimpse of what thousands of Palestinians are facing every day at the hands of the Israeli regime.
The footage of and the reports from the people who were attacked by the soldiers, the Israelis, this time round, as well as the brazenness of the Israeli minister who was filmed, going around like a rooster crowing over the people. It's very interesting how they spend a lot of time trying to pretend that they're victims and that, you know, they're the good guys, they're the people with the white hats on, and all of a sudden their slip is shown, revealed across the world. It's been a massive success, basically, for the revelation of their monstrosity.
Yeah, this is one of the things which we've been... One of the key focuses of our campaign is around the silence, the media blockade around what happens to Palestinians. And so, as well as... So whilst we've been able to see some of this outrageous footage from aboard the decks of one of these converted US, former US Navy landing craft, I understand they were, of the way in which people with international passports were being treated. The Israelis routinely, when they attack our boats, they cut the communications beforehand. They cut the communications when they get onto the boat. People may have seen footage of them shooting cameras. They cut the comms. They steal all the electronics to try and remove people's evidence of their brutality, of their thuggery and their thieving. And so when they record themselves, as as has been done throughout history, is that some of the worst perpetrators of violence, the people who have perpetrated violence, have often recorded what they've done. They've been quite systematic. And so there's evidence galore, but this particular pictorial and audio evidence is important. But it does go alongside the massive amount of pictorial and audio violence which we've had of Palestinians being mass murdered, being ethnically cleansed by the Israeli regime. And so this regime, which is one of it's one of thuggery, and it's one of violence, and it's absolute brutality. And so for a moment, we saw a small glimpse as to the way in which their entire system is one of domination. It's segregation, and it's denying Palestinian rights. And this isn't the abuses of one particular extreme person. This is it's systematic of the community, of the society, and it's been seen, as you said, the veil's been pulled back from these people. I mean, they've pulled veils off people who were participants on the flotilla, but maybe this has pulled the veil back off the extermination policy which they have in place.
And I had a bit of a different question from that, but what happens to all the boats, like, now that they're seized? Do they just float in the sea? Is there a graveyard of boats just floating in the sea? Or what is the, like, material cost and the logistics of all these campaigns that you guys run?
Yeah, there's a lot there we could talk about. Over the years, in terms of purchasing boats, procuring items, that's complex. What types of boats? Where do we get them from? People donate boats, all sorts of stories we have. Once we've even bought a boat in-house and refurbished it to try and stave it out, the Israelis blew that up. As far as this particular mission, there's a lot of boats, a lot of yachts. The Israelis stole some. They fired water cannon at and drove into the side of one. Some have sunk. Some have been stolen. Others are adrift. Others have landed on shore. And we're behaving as responsible global activists behave, and we'd like to get them back, and we don't like pollution. So we'll do whatever we can in order to recover and restore and reuse the particular boats we've got. Absolutely.
So how do people help out? How do they get in contact with you guys and be useful to this campaign?
Well, one way, as I said, so we campaign on the water, and we'll keep sailing till Palestine is free. We made a pledge to Palestinian people to do that, and we'll keep doing it. So we'll be working towards more flotillas, more people, and we need thousands of boats, of different types of vessels, to overwhelm the regime and break this blockade once and for all. The people, if they want to get involved directly with that, or in supporting our mission, these actions, they should either go to our link tree, which is Free Gaza Australia, or you can go to the international website, which is freedomflotilla.org, and we're also on all the platforms of Facebook, X, Sky, Instagram. We're Free Gaza Australia on most of them, but the link tree is the best place to go, because you'll find all the different things there, Free Gaza Australia. And as far as other things go, sailing isn't for everybody. Absolutely, we need a land team. We need people on land to support the people. But as importantly, we need people to be doing other things. If we're really going to break the blockade, we need to break the media blockade, but we also need to take the actions to the arms factories, to the places that which support this ongoing genocide against the Palestinian people. So we want to support whatever actions are going on by local communities to close down arms factories, whether it's Boeing, Northrop Grumman, BAE Systems, Thales, you name it. There's a lot of places throughout this continent, EOS, which people should be closing down, demanding their money, which they may have in their superannuation funds, are no longer invested in profiting from genocide. People need to take action for boycott, go to the BDS movement website, boycotts, divestment, sanctions, and take actions on land, sea and air to break this illegal blockade and stand with our Palestinian siblings.
More strength to your arm, James. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Hey, absolute honour to be on beautiful community radio. Love you all at 3CR.